Well, good day to you. It's Joel with For King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
You turned away from that sin and you were so little. And the moment you realized it was wrong, you stopped.
You're listening to Chiseled and Called with Brittany Dawn, a podcast about finding freedom in imperfection and peace in your broken pieces through Jesus. Our prayer is that today's message will bless you, embolden you, and fix your gaze on the King, that it will stir up the calling God has placed within you. Without further ado, here's your host, Brittany Dawn.
Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast. I am your host, Brittany Dawn, and y'all, we are officially in 2024. I can't believe it. It feels like 2023 went by so fast. We are diving into a rather weighty topic today, just a heads up, but it's honestly one that needs to be discussed far more often than it is. My incredible special guest today, Maddie Hessler, is real, raw, and vulnerable about her testimony and all that the Lord has done in her life. We are jumping into the discussion of masturbation and sexual sin. I do want to preface that sexual abuse is lightly discussed in this episode. So if that is something that you might feel overwhelmed by or you're triggered by, please, please, please feel free to skip this episode and go on to the next one. I truly believe that the Lord is going to break off so many strongholds for women that are listening today. And so without further ado, let's hop in. Welcome to the Chiseled and Called podcast, Maddie. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am so good. I'm so excited for this interview podcast episode slash whatever you want to call it. I just feel like this is going to be a message that resonates with a lot of women and men, if there's any man listeners. I just said that really weird. I am like known for like mixing words up and saying things incorrectly. It's just part of me at this point. But I do think that this is going to be a beautiful, just chit chat, hang out, girl chat, girl talk.
Yeah.
But before we dive in, why don't you share a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So my name's Maddie. I am married now 4 years to my best prayer answered, I like to call him. I have a daughter. She is 10 months, growing up so fast. And I'm super passionate about all things motherhood. But I would say in specific, like intentional motherhood and how each mom, like intentionality within motherhood is not a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. So what's intentional to one mama may be totally different than another, but it's so important that we support each other through that. Because I think now being in motherhood, it can be a lonely place if we don't choose connection with other moms.
Wow. That's so interesting because I'm obviously not on that side of things yet. And I'm always like talking about how the season before the answered prayer, because for us, we're praying to conceive. And I'm always talking about how that can feel like a lonely season. So it's really interesting to see that even on the other side, if you're not intentional in stewarding, you know, your friendships and your relationships and even your marriage, that it can also feel isolating at times. So that's so interesting. I love that you have become so passionate about this because I think, especially in the Christian realm, there's not enough of that. I think there needs to be more people speaking about the hard and the heavy things, not just what looks cute on social media and what's shiny and bright and sweet. Like motherhood is tough. It's sacrificial. I mean, we've gotten a little taste of it through foster care. It's you are putting yourself last and you're putting everyone else in your life before you. And I think that's beautiful that you get to talk about that. Yeah. So we've connected on Instagram, which we've followed each other for quite some time. And it has been really sweet. I just want to say, like, watching the Lord answer that prayer, because I believe you guys were trying to have a baby for years, right?
Well, we were trying, and we actually, like, you experienced, walk through a miscarriage. And nothing can prepare you for that, especially when it's been a desire on your heart for so many years.
And it was really sweet to see this answered prayer, this little miracle. What is your daughter's name?
Her name is Atara.
Oh, that's so beautiful. Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. I love that. And I love the unique names. I always tell Jordan when we have a baby that we're going to name our son or our daughter something really unique. Like, I don't want the,
I love that.
Because my name is Brittany. I'm like, every other girl in my school had the name Brittany. Like, that was like the name in the 90s. And so I'm like, I just really want something that's not as cliche for my kids. But yeah, we connected on Instagram and we kind of started talking about our testimonies. So I just want to kind of give you the space to maybe share the parts of your testimony that you feel like the Holy Spirit's highlighting, and we'll just go from there.
Yeah. So I think like every other woman, I would say, and I can confidently say that now that I've heard enough women's testimonies, navigated a pretty heavy season, long season of sexual sin in my life. And that all stemmed from something that we have in common. And when I was really young, I figured out my body and started, I would say like experimenting is what a lot of people would call it. But I honestly want to say that, I fell into masturbation really young. And there was a lot of shame, like a shame loop that happened. And that led to many, many, many years of sexual sin, that being issues with porn, sleeping around in high school and college. And thankfully, by the grace of God, when I was intentional about who I wanted to spend the rest of my life with, and I really prayed about it, and I surrendered it to the Lord, He led me to my now husband. And that, like in meeting my husband, has been such a healing journey for me that he has helped me walk through, and has had so much grace for me along the way, and has been so encouraging, which I know is not every woman's story. Like even before this podcast, I like went to him and I'm like, hey, can you just like pray over me? Because there's some things that I'm going to be talking about that I've never spoke about publicly before. And, you know, he asked me some details and I told him, and he was just like, I'm so proud of you. And not a day goes by that I'm not like, thank you, Lord, for, for like showing your loving grace through him. And I thank him for being obedient enough to let the Lord do that, you know? And so that's like the main gist of my story is it controlled my life for so many years. And I think since becoming a mother, I really feel like the Lord, it's been a refining season for me, like really facing the things that I feel shame about, because I want to do that healing, not only for me, but for my family, for my daughter, you know, so that I can set an example of what it looks like to allow the Lord to heal those areas that inevitably we're going to feel shame for because we're human and we make mistakes.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. It is very, very vulnerable and uncomfortable to let people into that part of your life that was secret for so long. That's how I felt. So for me, I actually, I had this revelation back in January of this year. So I don't know if this is going to go live in 2023 or 2024 yet. So maybe by the time this is up on my channel, it'll be a year or so, a year ago. And I was actually at our Sheila's Freed retreat, and one of the girls there opened up and shared her testimony. And it was in this arena of masturbation and sexual sin. And I was sitting there listening to her testimony, and it started at such a young age. And every time she shared a part of her story, I found myself saying, that's me. Like, that was me as a kid. That was me at 6 years old. That was me at 8 years old. That was me at 10 years old and 15. And it was so much to process, because I had never heard anyone else share that they struggled with that at such a young age, that I had to pull my team into a room, into one of the leadership rooms, like the green room in our cabin, and sit there and process it with them, because it just felt like this. It wasn't heavy, but it was just like, I'm not alone. Like, I'm not the only one that struggled with this, because it does. It feels so shameful and so isolating, and you feel like something's wrong with you, and you're like, why did this happen to me at such a young age? And for me, I was, I mean, I guess some would say it was sexual abuse. The person that did this to me at such a young age, like, it was innocent, but it still happened, and it still caused a lot of chaos in my life moving forward. And so I don't necessarily like to say it was sexual abuse, if that makes sense, like, even though it was. And so, yeah, like, having someone else share their testimony helped free me, and then, like, helped me find the boldness to come out and share my story about this and say, like, there's freedom to be found in the cross. Like, Jesus wants to set the captive free. 'Cause for me, it did. It literally consumed my life so much. And, like, so many aspects of it were just dark and isolating and controlling. And, I'm not going to lie, like, there were so many parts of even my miscarriage that I'm like, was this due? And we obviously know it's not. I'm just being super honest right now, because I know someone needs to hear this. Like, there were parts of my miscarriage when I was going through that last year that I was like, is this because of my past sexual sin? Because at that point, like, I had been freed from masturbation. I think I've been freed from that for almost 2 years, praise God. Mm-hmm. But it's still there sometimes. And I'm still like, is this me? Is this something that I did? Is this something that, you know, I still need to repent for? And so I just think it's so beautiful that more women are coming out and speaking about this, because it's not talked about enough. And I know that we're not the only women that have struggled with that. And I know that even the girl that helped set me free from this, like, she's not the only one. And I know there's so many kids right now that are just like us, that are in that place, and they don't understand. And it's just so, when I look back at my life, it was just like the enemy to come in and do that. It wasn't God's desire. Like, he stole so much of my innocence from me at such a young age, because it did. It also led to pornography, and that, you know, led to broken relationships and sleeping around and promiscuity. And we could sit here and rattle off all the things that one thing at such a young age spurred on. And yeah, it's just, thank you. Sorry, that was super long-winded. But I'm like, you're not alone. And when you were sharing yours, I was getting a little emotional too. I'm like, dang, like, this is really such a deep sin, that you feel like you live in shame and bondage for so long. And it's such a beautiful thing to be on the other side of that. If you guys haven't heard by now already, in the month of October, I launched a new business called Hazel and Lane. Seeing what God has done so far has absolutely blown our minds. And if you don't know what Hazel and Lane is, let me give you a 20-second Cliff Notes version. In October of 2022, I had a miscarriage that would forever change a lot of things in my life. But what happened next is something I never would have expected. In my most broken moment, the Lord birthed a beautiful new thing. Just days after my miscarriage, I had an open vision of what I am currently living out with this business, a women and children's boutique. One thing led to another, and 1 year later, October of 2023, that vision came to life. Hazel and Lane were the two names that we had picked out for that child, and now every day is a sweet reminder of the children that we have waiting on the other side of heaven. It's been nothing short of amazing, and I am so incredibly grateful for the way that this community has rallied around this dream. If you are looking for a Christ-focused business to support this holiday season, or just want to shop around for yourself, you can visit us at hazelandlane.com. That's HazelandLane.com. And while you're there, you can use the code podcast for free shipping. Every package is prayed over and put together with love.
It is. And something you said, like, this is like so vulnerable for me to talk about. And I knew I was going to get super emotional, but so in your experience, I have some questions. So like, yeah, in your experience with that at a young age, you said, you know, was it like a playhouse type of thing with your friend? And then, yeah, it led to that happening to you.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And even though you're saying like it was innocent, it was consensual, and it's, mm-hmm, it also was like, what was that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess tell me more about like your personal experience with that. And then I can go from there.
Yeah. It was one of my friends. It was a girl. We were at her house, and that was the one and only time I ever went to, mm-hmm, her house, which, mm-hmm, my parents love the Lord. And so I don't know if they picked up on something and they just got that discernment and they were like, mm-hmm, she's never going back there. But that was the only time I ever went to this girl's house. And yeah, it happened to me at a young age, 6 years old. We were in her bedroom playing with Barbies and horse Barbies, yeah, like just being little girls, nothing. It was super, yeah, innocent. And then before I knew it, something like she was showing me something, and one thing led to another. And something, I was feeling something that I had never felt. And I was like, what is this? And that spurred curiosity, which then led to me doing things at a young age to myself. And like you said, experimenting. Mm-hmm. And it just, it's such an icky feeling. But it was, I was so young and I didn't know any better. And like,
yeah,
it makes you want, just like you said earlier, it makes you want to heal. My voice sounds so raspy. Sorry, I need to drink water. It makes you want to heal for your future kids, because, yeah, you don't want them to ever experience what you went through. And it's like, I don't want to be a helicopter mom one day, but also I'm like, we live in a broken world. And like, when you've been through the stuff that we have both been through as young kids, like, you want to be that much more protective of, mm-hmm, who they're around, who they're spending their time with. Cause mine was like, I think I was over there for like 3 hours. Like, it was just, yeah, drop me off. Let me hang out for a little bit. Mom's going to come pick me up. Cause I was like six. I didn't want to be away from home. I got homesick, yeah, you know? And to see how fast something happened and how that literally completely changed the trajectory of my life, mm-hmm, for what I now know to be like 20 years, 22 years, something like that. Mm-hmm. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can decide what parts of this you want to share, in the podcast, but I, came at it from the other point of view, actually, where I don't think I've allowed myself to go back to really reflect on how it started. Mm-hmm. When was the first time, like, what happened? But I was very young. I was like five. It was like from five to like six and a half years old, that this was happening. And it was occasional, but it would be like me playing house with my friends, and like the enemy is trying to stop me right now. And it, like, I would like do it on my friend's leg or something, you know? Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what I was doing. I had no idea. But I remember I was like six, because I remember I was still in my pink bedroom. And that's how I know about the age that I was. I was like 6.5 years old. And I couldn't fall asleep. And I was just like pacing my room, and I felt sick to my stomach. And what I now know, that was my first experience with like true conviction from the Holy Spirit. And
wow.
I like had to go into my mom's room hadn't happened in a while, but I had to go into my mom's room and tell her what I had been doing with my friends.
Wow.
And even though every time it was like consensual, like they were like, let's play house, let's do this. And it was always me doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I, now that I've really walked through healing around it, like I can't help but like think, did I? And I've had to give this to the Lord, but I'm like, I'm so deeply sorry to those women. Like, do I reach out to them? Did I cause like trauma for them, you know? And even though like I've had to remind myself, like I was so young.
Yeah.
Like I had no idea. And from the day I told my mom, I never did it on a friend again.
Yeah.
I would do it like in privacy myself. But
yeah,
man, I lived with that for so many years, you know, and it was so painful because I felt this deep, deep, deep guilt for what I did.
Wow.
And I've never, like, I've told close friends who, like, the Lord has led me to tell, but I've, like, never. And I've told my husband, actually, like, 2 years ago now, I told my husband because I was reading this book by one of my mentors, Jenny Donnelly. And I was reading this book that she wrote with other women called Wounded Wombs. And it's about how the enemy is after our womb in so many different ways, especially with all different forms of like sexual sin and lust and all of these things. And he's after us from a young age. And I read it. And even though there wasn't like an exact story to mine, I felt like I can come clean about this to my husband.
Wow.
And I remember telling him, and I was like I am now, I was like shaking. And I knew that was the enemy trying to keep me silent.
Yeah.
And I just like fought through it. And he just like held me and was like, it's okay. Like you were so young, you know, like you didn't know what you were doing. And I was just like, I feel like I need to like reach out to these women. And he's like, well, you should pray about that. But just know that like you turned away from that sin and you were so little. And the moment you realized it was wrong, you stopped.
Yeah.
And you just pray that the Lord can, regardless of if you decide to confront those women or not, you just pray that the Lord will carry them through that healing if they need it, you know, even though, like I said, it was very sporadic here and there type thing. It still was just, it was bondage.
There's so much I want to say. Holy Spirit. Just to go back like to your passion about motherhood too, like I fully believe that the intentional motherhood journey you're on is because you had such the secret sins that we both struggled with at such a young age. One thing that I've always been told, and again, I'm a mom, but like my babies are in heaven.
Yeah.
I've always been told that the moms who are afraid they're going to be bad moms are the ones who are great moms because they're so aware of their childhood and their trauma, and they're so willing to go on their own healing journey with the Lord and not let that spill over into how they parent their children. And I see that for you. Like I see your passion and your willingness to be vulnerable and heal through what was probably the hardest thing you've ever come out and talked about. I know it was for me, because you don't know what people are going to say. And I can't help but think that the Lord he's bringing all this up at such an intentional time because of your precious baby girl. And you're going to be the most incredible mother to her when she's our age and younger, like all the seasons of life that come with, you know, girlhood. And I just applaud you. I know it's hard. And I also know that you finding the courage to share this is setting someone free that's listening.
Yeah.
And it's also going to encourage them to dig a little deeper with the Lord and ask, like, God, can you expose this? Like, can you help me uproot this? Because that's ultimately what deliverance is, and finding that freedom is it's uprooting what's taken seed in our heart. And yeah, for me, it was an ugly process. So in January, when I found out and I had that like aha revelation moment, I processed it with my friends and my team, but I needed to process it with my husband. And we got back to our room that night and I just wept and I cried with him. And I was like, it was like word vomit. It just came out and I couldn't stop it. And looking back, I know that was the Holy Spirit, like helping set me free from the secret sin that I had never told anyone. And I was then telling, you know, the person that I'm one flesh with. And so I think to anyone that's like maybe even listening, and feel free to step in at any moment, that has had this secret sin and they've never told anyone, like your safest place is almost always going to be your spouse. For me, it is. And I know that that's not the case for everyone. But if that is your safe place, like I would encourage you to tell your spouse and just sit them down and pray about it before, ask the Lord to give them, you know, him or her, if it's a guy listening or a girl listening, like ask the Lord to give your spouse the mind to understand and the ears to listen and the words to speak at the right time, because it is a very heavy thing. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that.
It is, especially when it's left for the most part unhealed and leads to all of the other things.
Yeah.
And you now have that, like you said, aha moment of looking back and like it all stemmed from that.
Yeah.
And then yeah, like the leading to pornography. I mean, I was still young and I didn't ask to be shown how to access it. I didn't ask to be shown it. It was kind of brought up as a joke in a way. But clearly, and it was by women. I was, I think, in eighth grade. But clearly they were accessing that website. And it was actually, I don't know if you experienced this, but it was actually like female on female. And for some reason, I think that was the most attractive to me because they understood each other's bodies better, it felt like. And yeah, because I explored with like male and female porn and things like that, but it led to mainly women, like female porn. And that's the website that they showed me that literally I was held hostage to and in bondage to for like, what, 12 plus years? Or around 10 years. And I remember like walking through it with my husband and being like all of these things that happened in my life stemmed from like playing house and like experiencing masturbation at a very young age. And the shame from that led to another action that caused shame and another and another. And then all of a sudden I have this bondage to porn. And then that leads to me being curious and having sex with guys in high school, and then leading to a lot of sexual sin in college. And I think for me, it's like, I hope that the women that and men who listen to this, like not only come clean to the Lord, and repent of those sins, but talk to their spouse and then also have the courage to like have the conversation with your kids when you deem appropriate. And obviously I think at certain ages, things are explained a little different. And then as kids mature, the conversation matures. But that's my hope in this, is that like, my obedience not only is continued breakthrough for me and for my family, but that it's for so many other people that feel isolated in this sin.
Yeah, that's so good. It's so true. I mean, hearing you say like the doors that it opened with pornography, that's so real. And I think most unfortunately, I think more people our age, because we're probably around the same age, I feel like more people our age and our generation that have had a porn addiction, they were exposed at a very young age. Mm-hmm. Because of, again, the seeds that the enemy's been planting in us as kids. And thank God for like the way that the Lord pursues us. And I thank him every time. Like, thank you, Lord, for being so patient and so forgiving. Because I mean, I look back on all the times. I mean, it was like daily bondage for me, if I'm being honest. Yeah. It was daily bondage for me. And I lived, I mean, most of my 20s, I lived by myself. So I could get away with it. And it was easy to hide that sin. I didn't have anyone holding me accountable. And just, it's so I love that you shared that. It is so real. And then in that, for me, when I was struggling with pornography, it was the same thing. And that, like the female, and it made me question at some points. I remember the enemy using it to make me question my sexuality.
Yeah.
And that I've actually talked about that. Emily Robbie, I don't know if you know her, absolutely adore her. She's also an influencer, and we've had a really good podcast episode about pornography and the dangers of that and how it can quickly and swiftly, like manipulate your sexual identity. And it did for, I was always attracted to guys, but like for a season, it made me question, am I also attracted to females? And now I'm like, that's such a lie from the pit of hell, and it can go right back to where it belongs. But it was because I had opened that door with pornography. And so I feel like even just saying that and hearing you say that, that set someone free. Because I'm like, no, you're not attracted to the same sex. That's the enemy coming in to try to steal, kill, and destroy what God has planned for you, which is a husband if you're a woman and a wife if you're a man. And I feel like there's so many little rabbit holes we could go off of with this, because it is such a big topic, and it breaks my heart that the church is not talking about this more, because I feel like, I mean, statistically speaking, I feel like more of the church is struggling with this than not, or has struggled with this than not. And it's just going left unaddressed, and people need to be set free. People need to know that there's hope and that there is freedom on the other side. Because if I'm being honest, and I'm sure you felt this way, there was a time in my life, in my 20s, when I was like, is this just going to be something I struggle with my whole life? Like, is this going to be something that I'm going to have to hide from my future husband? Or I'm going to have to tell him, and he's just going to have to be okay with it. Like, those are real thoughts that cross my mind. And like, thank the Lord that he set me free before I even met my husband. And I'm so grateful for that. Mm-hmm. But I also know that I have an incredible husband who, even if I relapsed back into that for one time, you know, which he would love me through that. And he would help pull me out of that through the Lord's love and through the way that God loves us, because he loves me the way that God asks him to. And so that in itself, like when you have that kind of husband, you're like, I could never, because of the way that he so gently loves me. Like, I never want to dishonor him or whatever. That was kind of off on a little, like I said, there's so many little rabbit trails we could go down with this. This is such a big conversation. But is there anything? I definitely want to honor your time. I know we've been going for about 30 minutes already, which is crazy. Is there anything that you feel like the Holy Spirit's highlighting that you want to share? Or maybe just tell people, just to encourage them out of this stronghold?
There's so much I could say.
I think
the biggest thing for me, and I was talking to my husband about this, because I was feeling a tug as we got closer to today. I was like, oh my gosh, like, should I share like the depths of that sin? Should I share the details? I think my biggest thing is just be obedient to the Lord. He's not calling everyone to come forward on a podcast or on a public stage or just to a lot more people at once necessarily about this. The way the Lord worked in my heart was by presenting opportunities of one-on-one, like dinner dates with some of my girlfriends and acquaintances and women I was meeting. He was giving me the opportunity to share this sin because it either directly or indirectly resonated with those women who were dealing with sins in their life they were being very quiet about that they had been redeemed from for years, but you could tell was still causing the guilt and the shame.
Yeah.
And so just be obedient where the Lord's calling you to share it, and tears are probably going to come up. But when we're obedient in that, it, like, I truly and wholeheartedly believe that our obedience leads to not only our breakthrough, but breakthrough for others. And that's just domino effects. The same way a quote unquote generational curse can domino effect for generations if left unhealed, like, so can obedience.
Wow. I just got chills.
I still think about it to this day, and I pray that this gal listens to this episode. I'll probably send it to her because there was an opportunity for me to come forward about this probably like 5 years ago at a dinner with a friend who was kind of hinting at like playing house with her friends at a young age and it leading to early masturbation and then porn and sexual sin throughout her life. And, the Lord told me in that moment, like, share your experience. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. And I can't tell you how often that encounter pops into my head.
I
wouldn't say it's caused me guilt or shame, but I truly wonder, could that have led to breakthrough for her in that moment if I would have been obedient in sharing?
Wow.
Because I think, you posted something recently that was like, okay, it may be tea for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's my testimony, and I'm proud of it, you know? And I'm like, finally at this place where I'm like, I have been set free. I have been redeemed.
Praise God.
You know, I have wholeheartedly on my knees repented for those sins and turned away from them and never gone back. And it is so freeing. And now I feel like the Lord through all of that has equipped me to share it on a larger scale. But for some people, that's just sharing it with your spouse so that you can feel set free. That's just sharing it with a friend that maybe you can just sense has experienced something similar. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's not even they're like fully coming out and being like, I did this when I was little. It's like, you can just kind of sense it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, if you allow, again, if you're obedient and you allow the Holy Spirit to guide and direct that conversation, He will present an opportunity if He wants you to talk about it, you know? And so, that's probably what I'd leave it with.
That's so good. It's so true, because we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And that is like my one scripture. I think it's Revelation 13 that I always quote that, because you never know. Like, I got chills when you said that generational curses can be a domino effect, but so can being free from bondage. And I'm just like, you're right. Like, that's why I think I'm just always praying that the church would speak on these things, because it could truly break off so many generational curses that are going to be passed down for years to come if it doesn't stop with us. And I just love that you said that. That's so true. It's so good. Yeah. Anyone that is listening to this, that, which is probably a good majority of women that have either struggled with pornography, masturbation, sexual sin of any kind. Like, I mean, I hate saying it, but statistically speaking, again, that's pretty much everyone in some capacity. Just finding the courage to share it, to share your story with someone. It doesn't, like Maddie said, it doesn't have to be on a microphone or social media. Like, I think there is a time and a place to do that.
Yeah.
And I definitely would not advise anyone to share their story until the Lord asks them to.
Yeah.
Which is why I was silent for 4 years. I was like, oh, this is a long time, but it was very timely. And God knows who needs to hear it, and he will put you in front of those people. And I love that even through this, you're going to be able to send this episode to that girl, and mm-hmm. just how sweet. Like, she's going to get to hear the depths of your heart and mm-hmm. what you went through and your testimony with this, and how the Lord set you free and delivered you. Mm-hmm. And I strongly believe that there's going to be women that are truly, they come to the other side of their sin with this, with you sharing mm-hmm. your heart. And I just applaud you for that, because it is so hard. In January, like when I found out, I never thought that I would be sharing that publicly. And mm-hmm. curveball, the Lord always asks you to do what's not comfortable. And
oh, yes.
Also, it probably makes you look crazy to some. And I'm like, you know what? Hey, if they want to like shun me for speaking out about this, like, I don't care, because it just set five women free, you know? And that's five families that are going to be free from this for generations to come. And
amen.
Yeah. So I applaud you, Maddie. I know that was a lot to pour your heart out and to share that, and to be vulnerable and feel probably a little uncomfortable at times.
Yeah.
But I just know the Lord is going to do so much with your obedience.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Where can everyone find you before we wrap this up? I want them to be able to connect with you on social media.
Yeah. So main place is my Instagram. And that's Maddie, M-A-D-I-E underscore Burke, B-U-R-K-E. That's actually my maiden name. but that's the best place to find me. And I'm just, if any of you are walking through this, have questions, please do not hesitate to reach out.
Yeah.
I will, of course, keep your messages private. But I want women to feel encouraged to open up, especially if they don't have anybody that they can turn to.
Yeah, that's so good. It is so, it's so important to have someone that you can trust. And I love that you just opened up your platform like that. So yeah, if any of you guys are struggling with this, and you need someone to talk to, Maddie's, you're just such an incredible friend and sister. And I know we've never met in person, but I can just, spirit recognizes spirit, and you just seem like such a safe person. And so anyone that's struggling with this, I'm going to put all of her information down in the show notes, and you guys can go connect with her over on Instagram. Well, thank you so much, Maddie, for being here. And again, I applaud you for your vulnerability.
Thank you.
It's never easy speaking about your struggles, much less bringing them out of the darkness and into the light. But the enemy festers in the darkness. He thrives behind closed doors where we can hide things from the world. If you're struggling with anything that we discussed today, I really want to encourage each of you that there is hope, but that hope can only be found in Jesus. There is nothing outside of his scope of love, and he can mend every single broken piece. If you're struggling with anything that we discussed, I pray that you find the courage to go confide in someone, maybe a friend or a counselor, but just share and voice these struggles. That alone right there is one of the best first steps to processing everything with the Lord. As always, I hope that this message left you feeling seen and heard and encourages you to draw near to the Lord. Thank you so much for being here, and I will see you guys next Tuesday morning.
If you'd like to learn more about Brittany Dawn, you can find her personal platforms and ministry through the social links below. Thank you for listening in today. And remember, there's no depth that God will not go for you. His grace is sufficient, even here.